Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Did you listen to us?
And we're back in studio now. If you hear that rumbling in the background, no, the candidates are not having a fight. We're just switching now. The Democrats are moving out. We're taking a few pictures. And the Republican candidates are coming in now again for this 10th Plymouth District tonight. And you're here on 95.9 WATD. As we said at the top of the hour, if you're not sure what the 10th Plymouth District is, I'll tell you. It's precincts B and C of Ward 4, precincts B, C, and D of Ward 5, and Ward 6 of Brockton. You've got Precinct 1 in East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater. And of course, that makes up the distance. If you're hearing the snapping fingers, yeah, people here can't stop taking the selfies and the photos now. Must be very exciting here to take photos on radio. I like that. We've got Kevin Tachi.
Well, this is for our website, so folks can be able to see who was in studio.
Thank you very much. That's Kevin Tachi, beautifully coordinated tonight in the blue shirt. I love that. We'll put that on the website, Charles Mathewson also. Now, we have the two Republican candidates in here tonight. This is part two of a WATD political forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator. We said again, the race is for the 10th Plymouth District. The two Republican candidates, we've got John Cruz and Colleen Maloney in studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Busy night here on the radio station with people wandering around.
Hustle and bustle.
It's true. We try to do these back-to-back so we can stick to some of the same issues. The format is simple. We use it the same with each candidate's forum that we do. We ask candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. They can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes. In between, we'll ask a round of questions, including the lightning round, where the answers are either yes or no, one or two sentences tops. And if you just listen to the last forum, as all the forums you see, that's very difficult, it seems, for anyone running for office to give a really short, succinct answer. But we still press away, and we do try. Now, if we have time, we'll give the candidates a chance to ask each other a question or two. We might throw in a card trick. I'm not sure. Charlie's the card. No card tricks tonight? Okay. We're going to choose the order now of how you start. As we said, the official newsroom koozie disappeared under mysterious circumstances, which we're still trying to figure out where they went.
Here's, still investigating.
Yeah, still investigating that. It'll be a four-part series. We're going to start with John Cruz tonight.
We could use a district attorney.
Yeah, okay.
Do we know him?
I'll find him.
Colleen Maloney, you'll be second. We will switch at the end, so we'll open with John Cruz, then we'll go to Colleen, and then at the end, the closing statements will be Colleen and then John Cruz. Now, you see this little friendly thing here? It's got a ladybug on it, a smiley-faced lady, and a tulip.
Yes.
It looks harmless, doesn't it? It's the bell. This means if you're talking too long and I give you the high sign and you keep talking, the bell rings cut off, just like a boxing
match. You're done.
Okay.
You're done.
Kevin, you really want me to hit that bell, don't you? Any questions before we get started?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's start with, we're going to start with John Cruz. We're going to have your opening statements and no longer than, can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, my name is John Cruz and I am a candidate for state representative. I want to thank everyone in the room for having us here tonight to express our concerns and why we think that we are the best candidate for the position. As everyone knows, this is a job opportunity, a job opening, and this is a job interview that we're here for tonight. A little bit about myself. I'm the only one in the race with experience. I am a former state representative. I was there back in 1990, 91, 92, and for a week in 1993, so I know how things go on Beacon Hill. After my politics in Boston, I moved on to local politics in West Bridgewater. I've been on the fire department for 32 years. I've been an elected member of the Board of Health for 10 years, and I've been an elected member of the Housing Authority for 12 years now. So I see a lot that goes on both state and in local town government. And I'm here to make the changes to assist the local communities in getting our fair share of local aid and money back that we are entitled to. A lot of legislators get up on Beacon Hill and they forget about where they came from. They forget about where their grassroots are from. And that is from the local community that you live in, that you rely on for local services. And that's why I'm running. I mean, the problem with Beacon Hill right now is that they have a spending problem, not a revenue problem. As we know from the revenue issue that they have, they continue to raise our taxes. And we do have taxation without representation. Like I said earlier, I am a former state representative. When I was there back in 1990, we had a population in Massachusetts of approximately 6 million people with a budget of just under 10. Fast forwarded to today, we have a population of 6.5 million, and we have a budget of almost $37 billion. It's quadrupled in a mere 22 years. Where'd the money go? Well, I can tell you where the money goes. It goes to a lot of programs that I'm not supportive in nature. I think what we have to do, we have to curb the spending on Beacon Hill, and the way that we can do that, we have to limit the intake that the state receives. Like the local communities are limited to the amount of money that they receive by Proposition 2.5. We need something where we can limit the amount of taxes that can be generated by Beacon Hill, and that in turn will affect the spending. I don't want to go over my 2 minutes here, but I want to thank you for the opportunity to give me the opening statement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was John Cruz, candidate. Now we're going to go to Colleen Maloney, your opening statement for our listeners.
Thank you guys for having me. My name is Colleen Maloney, and I'm running for the Plymouth 10th District. I grew up in the district. I went to schools at West Bridgewater High. I went to the public schools my whole life. And I just graduated from Stonehill, which is right up the street from the district. And so I've always, you know, I grew up in a family that said it's really important to be involved in the community and know what issues are affecting you. Growing up, my mom was on the school committee. She's now on the Board of Selectmen. I somewhat followed in her footsteps a little bit when I joined Southeast Regional School Committee, was elected there, and I'm now the chair of the school committee. That's somewhat where I started getting involved, you know, in looking at how the state handles its money. It started with how they handle Chapter 70 costs, which is education. You know, our budget continues to grow, but the funding to schools continues to get cut, as well as the funding back in local aid. So, you know, once I started looking at that, other issues started to come to light, whether it's, you know, the gas tax. We tied the rising cost of, the rise in inflation is now tied to the gas tax. So every time inflation goes up, our gas tax goes up. That goes up automatically without a vote. EBT reform is another one that, you know, once I started looking at what goes on at the state level, there's fraud and abuse all through that system, and it's that money can be allocated to both people who need it and then also just generally, you know, back to the community where they can do much better with it. So that's somewhat why I got into the race, and I just hope that I can, you know, get up there and start looking at where we want to be 5, 10, 15 years from now, because right now the State House has been somewhat retroactive. We all saw what happened with the text tax. They passed the bill, weren't really sure what was in it. They immediately had to repeal it because it was going to start killing businesses. And so, you know, as someone, you know, younger in the newer generation, I just want to look at what we can do now to get ourselves ready for the future.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Colleen Maloney. Let's go right now to Charles Mathewson, opening questions for the candidates here.
Okay, I don't know if you heard this in the Democratic Forum, but it's a pop quiz. You're each from West Bridgewater, next to East Bridgewater. Where is North Bridgewater?
Brockton.
Very good. I always like to know that.
I'm sorry, I didn't say it was going to be a history lesson in this, but.
Okay, this is a primary race. You're each conservative Republicans. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
How will you win votes in these Democratic wards of Brockton?
Who do you want to start with?
Colleen.
Yes, I'm a conservative Republican. However, once I'm knocking on these people's doors and I'm saying, you know, this is my message. It's lowering your taxes. The property taxes in the conservative districts are, I mean, in the Democratic districts are sky high. Looking at Brockton, the average property tax is around $6,000 a year. And, you know, that's because of mismanagement on the state level, and then they're sucking the cities dry. And so the only way the cities can continue to pay for their, you know, education, public safety, et cetera, is through raising their taxes. So a lot of it is taxes. You know, people across the aisle seem to agree that their taxes are continuing to go up. Another important issue to me is education's in the public schools, which Democrats tend to agree that our public schools, you know, Brockton has an amazing public school. Brockton has a great school. South Shore Voc, which is vocational and technical education, they, you know, they're creating the future leaders of the world. They are pumping out grads who are already ready with these, you know, skills that the most high school grads don't have. So getting them the funding that both, you know, West Bridgewater High, East Bridgewater High, Brockton High, and Southeast Regional need are important to both sides of the aisle. And then I've also heard a lot about infrastructure and roads, especially in Brockton. And, you know, like I said, Chapter 90 funding has continued to get cut when budget has continued to go up.
Okay. Same question for John.
Same question, John.
Well, as I meet the people, I mean, people are fed up that taxes continue to go up. I mean, the sales tax went up a couple of years ago, and then there's talk about the automatic gas tax, which, first of all, I'm opposed to anyways, because I think, first of all, any tax increase has to go through the legislature. Let them put their feet to the fire. Let them make the decisions that are needed, the tough decision that they're elected for. The other thing, though, is that local aid is crucial. Local aid is very important. And when other programs get funded, unfortunately, There's no, I want to call it a sunset provision. What happens is that a sunset provision is when you file a bill, it becomes law. There should be some sort of a clause on it where after 3 years we review it. And then if the program is funded or overlapped by another program, it will be defunded. That's what's going on in Beacon Hill. As I mentioned earlier, that Beacon Hill has a spending problem. I mean, when I was there 22 years ago, the state budget, it's quadrupled in 22 years. Where is the money go? I'll tell you where it didn't go. It didn't go to local aid. And that's where we see the biggest bang for our buck. That's where we see more police officers on the streets. That's where we see more firefighters. I know Brockton has a problem with closing down a fire station. I know we need to fill those adequately, and we need to allocate our dollars. When I get in there, I'm going to look at every line item that's changed in the past 20 years and see where I can cut and where the money, where I think should go, and that is to local aid.
How do you convince Democratic voters in Brockton that they should vote for you?
I think because of my conservative nature, and also that they know that I was there before. They know that just look at my record. If you want to know where someone's been going, see where they've been. I've been there. I've got a record on cutting taxes. I have a record on helping out the city of Brockton. When I was there my first month in office, Brockton was looking at a payless payday for their employees. The mayor came to me, and the chief financial officer came to me and said, John, we can't make payroll. I went to Governor Wald at the time. We filed special legislation, and I got the $5 million local aid advancement that they need. That's what it's all about. It's a matter of getting to the people that you need to know to make things work. And that's what I'm all about. I get things done. I'm a plumber by nature. I mean, I'm a firefighter. I mean, I see the problem, and I help extinguish the problem, and I correct it, and I solve it. That's what it's all about. I've got my own business for 22 years. I know what it takes to make things work.
Okay.
Kevin Tauchi.
John, it's been said, rumored, that you contributed to your opponent's campaign and offered support before deciding to jump into this race yourself. Mm-hmm. If this is true, what made you change your mind, decide to run for this office yourself?
Well, as you know, I haven't been out of politics in the past. I mean, I ran 4 years ago. So obviously I've had my eye on the position. And when Colleen did decide to run, I as you can tell when you look at my report, the reports that go to Office of Campaign and Political Finance, look at the candidates that I've given to. I've given to Sean O'Connell, I've given to Jeff Deal, representatives in the district. When I saw that Colleen, I urged her to run. I said, it's a good idea. But then when I saw that this seat can be won by someone in West Bridgewater that can work hard, someone with the background, someone with the knowledge, and someone with the experience that can win the seat, that can fight hard. It's not a seat that can be, that we need a two-year learning curve, and that's what it's all about up there. There is no learning curve with me, so that's when I decided to jump into the race myself, because I can adequately represent that district just like I have in the past, and that's what it's all about, representing the district in the past. There is no learning curve, and that's why I figured that's...
That kind of plays into my question for Colleen, and that is at the age of 24, right?
25, but yeah.
Okay, 25, but you are the youngest candidate in this race that possesses somewhat limited political experience, somewhat. What can you say to voters who might be leaning towards a more mature and experienced candidate that's running for this office, whether it's John or, say, if you get past September 9th, one of the other three candidates who might make it?
Yeah, I mean, I am obviously the youngest candidate with a limited experience. However, I'm willing to listen to the voters, hear their concerns, try to assess, you know, what exactly they're looking for from a rep, and then just learn from that and go from there. I mean, you know, I'm a new voice. I'm someone who hasn't been up there yet, but I'm willing to get up there, be an independent voice, and just fight for the constituents. So, you know, I mean, no, I haven't been up there yet, but if, you know, a constituent calls me up and says, I have issue X, Y, and Z, I'll say, all right, I'll do my best, and let's get to the bottom of this.
So let me ask you this, where John had kind of made mention about a learning curve. He'd be able to get up there without a learning curve. Do you feel that you would have a learning curve if you were elected?
No, I think I've been studying the issues I've been running, you know, for almost a year now. I've been studying the issues. I've been following what goes on at Beacon Hill. And, you know, I have, like I said, you know, I'm on a school committee. My mom's on the Board of Selectmen. We see the issues that come up. And so, no, I don't think I would have, you know, any learning curve.
Okay, question for John. Kevin?
He already asked a question.
Okay,
I didn't
John,
know if
yeah.
you wanted to follow up with the age thing. Okay.
No, I think they both had answers sufficiently.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go to Charlie.
Let's remember Peter Foreman, who I think was 24 and became majority leader. Or was he speaker?
Minority leader. Yeah, I was the first freshman to vote for him to endorse his position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. The Plymouth County Commissioners have introduced legislation to strengthen county government. Will you support those bills? Do you know about the bills?
Who do you want to start with?
John.
Well, I don't think that county government should be expanded as it is right now. I mean, we've got some issues that we have overlapping services from county government that the state also offers. I'm not a big supporter of county government. I think we actually eliminated some county governments when I was in office 20-some-odd years ago. So, I mean, we have to look at We have to look at the basics of what services that they provide as opposed to what the other government agencies provide. The bottom line is it costs tax dollars. And there's only a limited pot of money out there that we have to be careful on where our limited resources go. So we have to make sure that we get the biggest bang for our buck. If other agencies can do that aspect in a better way, I think all for it, that's the way that we have to go.
Colleen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with expanding the county services as well. We're not like other states in that, you know, the sheriff's department is, you know, much more functioning than our local departments. I think our local departments and our other state agencies do well. And so I think there are a lot of places where we could actually shrink the county government.
Okay, both of you sound like you don't support county government. Dan Pallotta, a Republican, proud Republican, is chairman of the county commissioners. Yeah. And he sees a role in the county as saving money because they can provide regional services. How do you respond to that, Colleen?
Again, I just think there's so much overlap there. I'm not, you know, I wouldn't say I would get rid of it completely, but to expand on it is, I don't agree with. And again, we already have, we can save some money some places, but ultimately I don't agree with it.
Well, I see some areas that county government, you know, for instance, in the fire service, for instance, we have mutual aid. We have we also have BCI. I think that's under the sheriff's department. So there are some agencies that the sheriff's department does cover that at one time were connected with county government. I mean, I think it has to be looked at, plain and simple. County government's been a form of government for 300 plus years. I think we need to look at it, see if it's still required to move forward. This is the 21st century. We just need to see if it is required to move forward.
Kevin Tauchi.
There's an ongoing battle for the minority leadership in the House. If you're elected, how will you approach the situation as a freshman legislator? Colleen.
There's a bit of a divide. Personally, I like to keep it, you know, in the party. But ultimately, I think, you know, we should look at who is willing to lead, who's willing to stand up to the Democrats, and who can do the best job at, you know, getting our bills passed and standing and not, you know, not just falling lockstep with the Speaker.
John.
Well, I think people in general are just fed up with what's going on. They see the gridlock in D.C. and they hear what's going on in Beacon Hill. I think we all have to get behind one leader. I mean, I mentioned this at an event a couple of weeks ago, how there is some infighting going on in the Republican Party, and my answer to that was, hey, look, there's a new legislature coming in January. Why don't they argue it out then instead of backbiting and making things difficult now to get anything achieved? I mean, bottom line is, Republicans are conservative. We need to work to our goals. And any infighting that goes on, it's just bad for everyone, bad for the party, bad for the state. And that's something that we can't continue to have.
Would it be safe to say that each one of you have been lured by either side of the fight? From what I'm hearing, John, you sound like you're more with the current leadership. Colleen, you sound like you might be with the folks who are looking to make changes at the minority leadership. Is that a safe thing to say or not a safe thing to
say?
Well,
I've seen, again, experience. I was there. I know what it takes. I mean, if you want to get something pushed through, you need to work with the other side. That's how I got my library money back 7 years ahead of schedule. I worked with the Democrats. Sure. I pushed through an amendment on a supplemental appropriation, and I got my $600,000 back ahead of schedule. Not by fighting them, not by fighting within the other members of my party. We work together. That's what it's all about. If it's a matter of keeping up the existing leadership, which I think Minority Leader Jones is doing a great job at, I think we stay with that route. I think it comes down to you have to compromise in politics. And unfortunately, there's people in there that want to make problems and make things harder to get things for the ultimate goal to be achieved.
Do you agree with that statement that you just made?
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have to reach across the aisle, but quite frankly, I think the Democratic Party has been, you know, not adamant enough in we are conservative Republicans and, you know, we need to push for the legislation that we need. Once we create enough pushback, we're able to, you know, end this one-party rule.
But
Are we talking about one-party rule? Or are we talking about the leadership for the Republicans?
I'm talking about the minority leadership. That's what I'm talking about. Is the infighting that's going on?
Yeah.
Where you go. Jones is the minority leader, but yet there are others. That
yes.
there's a divide there. So I'm trying to find out who is where. And I kind of have figured that out. I just want to see if where you guys lie and want to tell the voters.
I think I stand pretty clearly where I stand.
Okay. I want to ask you a quick question, John. It seems like you've mentioned a couple of things here that you were very successful at, about getting the payroll for Brockton, getting the library services restored ahead of schedule. It seems like if you've got this record of achievement, why didn't you get reelected to the office again? What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, it was a high voter turnout. 1992 was a presidential election, and George Bush, president at the time, and Bill Clinton is an opponent. I mean, I think that was part of the issue that I lost. I mean, first of all, when I was elected, I was the first Republican in over 50 years to represent Brockton. I was the first Republican ever elected that didn't live in Brockton to represent Brockton. I mean, I think that said it all right there. Things have changed in the past 22 years. I mean, it's a lot. People know the name out there. My brother Tim, being the DA, he's done a lot of good things for the district, a lot of good things for the area, and they recognize that, you know, that we can work together. Mm-hmm. That Republicans can work with Democrats, and that's what it's all about. I think it's because, plus I'm older now, I'm more mature. I realize what the voters want to hear. Things have changed a lot in 22 years.
Okay. Now, Colleen, you've got experience in Southeastern Mass School Committee.
Mm-hmm.
How will that translate into being a state rep, especially? Again, you're young. What is it, 25 now?
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold that against you, but just to, you know, you've got a lot of the people that come out and vote tend to be older, especially in this area.
Right.
How's that going to translate?
I mean, I understand that schools technically don't affect them because they might not have a child in the system anymore. However, you need to look at also if we're fighting for this school funding and we're getting to them on the state level and we're restoring it to the levels that it was in the past years. They're not going to see the property taxes. They're not going to get slapped with property taxes from the cities and towns because, you know, it's being fixed on a state level. Education isn't my only, you know, I've met with, when I was interning at the courthouse, I've met with, you know, introducing prostitution courts and drug courts, et cetera. So, I mean, my niche, I guess, is education, but, you know, I've also been trying to meet with as many people as I can to try and get their opinion on what other, you know, issues are important to the voters.
Okay. Any other questions, guys, or we're going to
So, I'm hearing here, this goes back to my psychology days, I'm hearing, John, you're willing to work across the aisle. Colleen, you seem to be more of a, is it fair to say, a Tea Party Republican?
I guess it would depend on how you define Tea Party. Probably not. I like to stand up for, you know, lower taxes and creating jobs and increasing local aid. But, I mean, if that's how you want to define Tea Party, then maybe, but not exactly.
Okay. So this leads to one of my favorite questions. If you're faced with a problem, do you attack it first pragmatically or idealistically? John?
Pragmatically.
Pragmatically.
Really? Yeah. Pragmatically. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Matthewson. Now going over to Kevin Tachi.
It's the question that I asked your Democratic counterparts earlier. I want to ask you the same thing to see how well you know the pulse of this particular district. How do you feel that the concerns of residents in East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater differ from the voters who live in Brockton?
In East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater, it was a lot about what East Bridgewater just got a new school and West Bridgewater is getting a new school, so it's a lot about how we're going to pay for that. And then in Brockton, education was a topic, but Brockton High is a really strong school. Brockton Public Schools actually got a few new schools in without really, you know, raising the property taxes too much. So for Brockton, it's a lot of how can we look at, it's a lot of roads. People are looking for a lot of infrastructure changes. And there's a lot of empty storefronts throughout the city. And so it's how can we bring in more jobs and get people working back in the city again? So that was the main concern, I guess, for comparing the two.
John?
Well, I mean, we know that East Bridgewater has a school and West Bridgewater has schools. Here's a problem that I see right now. I mean, West Bridgewater, we're building a school, and we get approximately 50% reimbursement. East Bridgewater got a 62.5% reimbursement. Brockton's been adding schools, repairing schools, and they got a higher reimbursement. I think it's incumbent upon the legislature to make sure that they each get their fair share. I mean, each community deserves their fair share. And I think people in West Bridgewater, they asked me the question, why is it that, you know, that another community got more than reimbursement than we did? I said, could it be because of maybe you didn't have proper representation up there in Beacon Hill? I said, what's going to happen is that you need a louder voice up there to get your point across. Just look at the candidates. Look at experience. Look at the candidates and just decide who can be the best one for you. Who's been there before? Who can make it work for you?
You're listening to a political forum here on WATD and the candidates, John Cruz and Colleen Maloney. They are the Republicans running in the 10th Plymouth District. Charlie Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
Let's play a little game. There are four ballot questions. Let's see if we can name them. Colleen, name one.
Bottle bill.
John.
Gas tax.
Colleen.
Sick day.
John.
Casino.
Excellent. Yes.
Now, I swear he was a teacher once. I really do.
You're going to give out some scratch tickets? Just kidding. All right, Charlie.
If you move on to the November ballot, your name will appear with these four initiative petitions. Which do you favor and why? Colleen.
I like the gas tax. I like saying, well, I like repealing the gas tax. That's how it's written on the ballot. That would probably be my favorite one to say yes to. It's, you know, a never-ending tax, and we've talked about it before, but it's taxation without representation up on Beacon Hill, so that would probably be my favorite.
What's your next favorite?
My second favorite, casinos is an interesting topic, so I guess that's picked up a lot of, you know, here and there. There was an article that just came out as to looking at New Jersey, whether or not they're looking at they might have to bail one of their casinos out. And so it's whether or not casinos are really going to bring in the revenue that we need. That said, you know, no other business is dying to get in there. So I would say we would have to put it through. I'm going to vote for it because of that and because...
You're going to vote for to repeal it?
I'm going to vote for the casino.
In favor of casinos.
Yeah, sorry. Because of, you know, we need to get some business in there. And then also because... the budget, actually, that was just passed by the State House already allocates funds for that, so they were counting their chickens before they hatched, and so, you know, what's going to happen if we don't have that funding? So we're kind of in a tough spot as voters, but ultimately, I'd be for the casino.
What are your top two, John?
Let's go one by one. Casino. Okay. I'm actually supportive of the casinos. I think it's gone too far. First of all, it should have gone in front of the voters years ago, but it didn't, because the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decided to make the decision that they thought that would affect them the most. In the way that they looked at the most is more money going into them. Yeah, this year's budget, I think, is predicated on about $70 million coming in from the casino. Is that going to happen? Who knows? But that's one question. That's how I feel for that.
So you would vote in favor of...
Maintaining the way that it is right now. So maintaining the casinos as they move forward with the three casinos and the one slot power.
All right.
The second question is the bottle tax. I think it's, again, it's a tax. It's another tax on people. I don't care if you take a nickel out of their pocket or another 32 cents a gallon out of the price. It's still a tax. When you take when you take more money out of a taxpayer, all it does is decrease their standard of living because it takes money that they can go out shopping with. They can go to a restaurant and enjoy time with their family. Obviously, I'm opposed to that tax as well. The other tax is the unpaid sick leave. It's, in my opinion, it's another tax. I'm an employer. I've got two employees that work for me. I've been in business for 22 years. I personally offer it. If my employees are sick or if they get paid vacation, I personally offer it. It's not up to government to tell me that you need to pay for your employees' sick time and vacation time. I offer it myself. And the fourth one is...
Are we doing all for you? No.
Gas tax.
Obviously, it's another tax. I'm opposed to the gas tax because I said earlier that the Commonwealth has a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
Okay, Colleen, do you want to comment on the other two?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not for the bottle bill. It's been kicking around for, I think, about 12 years now, and it's somewhat of a moot point as far as so many communities now having their own recycling. And I don't know of any other, you know, businesses that are forced to take empty somewhat trash back because a lot of business owners, when they get these bottles back, there's syringes in them or band-aids in them or worse. So I'm against the I don't agree with the bottle bill. And then there's also so what one did I miss? Oh, sick day. I like the idea of a business having the flexibility to do the right and moral thing. Some businesses, as far as, you know, restaurants, if they're forced to do this, what are they going to do if they can't find someone to cover their shift? And so it'd be, you know, I don't support the sick day, I don't support the bottle bill.
Okay, let me be a devil's advocate here. The bottle bill, I'm told by business owners who have redemption centers, which I think is an odd phrase. I really like the sign that I saw in Manomet that said, no redemption on Sunday. business owners who run redemption centers say it creates jobs. They hire people to run the redemption centers. What do you say about that?
Let's start with John.
Well, it's like this. Every nickel that goes to the deposit doesn't go back to the consumer. The money does go to the state. I think it's like $30 or $40 million, I believe. I mean, creating jobs. We're better off creating jobs by keeping lowering our taxes and then having people spend money on their own as they want to spend it instead of having the government spend it for them. I mean, I just can't see.
Colleen?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between job creation and then just expanding essentially a government job. I would more like to see, you know, lower taxes so that more small businesses can come in and let the community, you know, flourish that way.
Okay, Kevin Tachi.
The city of Brockton is one of several urban communities in the Commonwealth dealing with the homelessness issue. What type of bill or initiative would you support or maybe bring forth to help end this problem? Pauline.
So there's a huge issue with that, and right now, you know, Chapter 40B, and we need to expand what we offer as far as housing authorities in Section 8, because it's a conservative move, because right now we're keeping them in hotels, and that is just not the answer. Once people can get stable housing and, you know, get some feet under their ground, they can start getting back to work, they can start putting back into the community. So I would say there was a bill to just some regionalized housing authorities, basically just expanding. There's a huge wait list for people trying to get into these housing authorities, just, you know, expanding on what we have, but then also maybe looking at what regulations there are so that we can see, we can make sure we're letting in the right people who genuinely deserve and need this to get back on their feet.
Same question.
Well, I'm a vice chair of the West Virginia Housing Authority, so I kind of see what goes on directly. I mean, I think obviously when people need a roof over their head, that's what government's all about, to give them the assistance to get back on their feet again, and then being a contributing member to society. The governor tried to consolidate all the local housing authorities into four or five quasi big. That was wrong. I mean, it takes the local control out of it. Takes the
autonomy.
It really does. I mean, again, we see what happens when government takes over. They just, especially this government, they just can't control what they have right now. And by expanding a central agency for housing authorities, in my opinion, it's poor. I mean, I know as I'm an elected member of the housing authority, I don't receive any compensation, but we deal directly with our residents. I mean, you get the feedback from them, what they need, what they'd like. I mean, we have to help the most needy out there. That's a basic government service that we have to provide.
If I was going to quickly ask,
jump in with one quick question. When we talk about, let's quantify it. What's the homeless population in Brockton, roughly? Is it 10,000 people? Is it 500?
Well, it depends. I mean, what's the population of Brockton? You don't know what you have because of the undocumented people that it currently
exists.
Is
there a rough number that's available? Do you 96. Either one of you know?
I think it depends. I mean, how do you really gauge?
Are you talking about 100 people or 1,000 people? Because people keep saying a huge homelessness
thousands.
Problem. What does it mean?
I think thousands. It's thousands? Not hundreds.
Okay, thousands. You think it's thousands. Thousands is safe to say?
I think it's thousands, but there's an underground homeless
okay.
that you really don't, just, that you really don't come in contact
that.
With.
Any of the gubernatorial candidates who are running currently, have you heard any of them put forth any kind of a homelessness proposal to resolve this?
Yeah, I mean, Shelley Baker did that a lot with that. Sorry, was I supposed to go first? I don't. Shelley Baker did a lot with that, you know, when he was working under Weldon. He's also said, you know, we need to get these people out of hotels and, you know, into homes. And so basically just echoing his plan. It's an amazing plan. He's been really, really active in it. I don't think Fisher has said much about it. I don't know for sure, though. I'm not really following him.
Well, you have to have vouchers so people can travel, so they get away from the motels, first of all. That's what you need. You have to have the vouchers so they can go in and they can be transferable into another area. That's what you need to do. The homeless shelter at a motel is not the way to go. It's not cost effective, and it's not doing any good for the children and for the people that reside there.
Okay, I want to give you folks a chance to ask each other a question or two. Colleen, do you have a question for John Cruz?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay, John, do you have a question for Colleen?
Actually, Colleen, how would you stimulate growth for small businesses in order for them to create jobs?
So Sean O'Connell came out actually with an amazing plan. It looks at provisions that are already on the books that are hurting businesses and no longer needed, and it eliminates those. It also eliminates, you know, it gives businesses a year to accommodate to new taxes, which also helps. And then just lowering, you know, licensing fees, which hurts businesses, and just general taxes and, you know, taxes.
How
on
would you do it? That's Sean's bill.
I would try to get that through the floor.
Okay.
And no, so you have no question for John.
Okay.
No. All right, let's go to the lightning round. Lightning round questions for the candidates. Let's start with you, Charlie.
Okay. This is the famous question. This is an open seat. Which committee assignments would you most prefer?
That's
John.
Right, John.
Well, since I'm on a local housing authority, I'd like to be on housing and urban development again, which I was on 22 years ago. I mean, I enjoy working with the seniors. I enjoy making sure that the
Okay, remember it's lightning.
Yeah, okay,
sorry. Two sentences lightning.
Would love Ways and Means, but if that doesn't happen, bonding. Sorry, I know. I'm just saying.
Kevin Tatchy.
Would you stand on the gas-fired power plant being proposed in Brockton? For or against?
For or against, Colleen?
Against.
I'm John against, and I testified in Boston in opposition to it.
Okay. Are you for term limits, yes or no?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Charlie?
If elected, will you give up your day job or any other elected positions? Colleen?
Yes.
No.
You would not give up your day job?
I still have, I'm the plumbing inspector in West Bridgewater, and I still enjoy being on the committees that I'm on. I'm on, like I said, the fire department and other things.
Okay.
So, I mean, I like to give back to the community. That's
okay.
What it is.
Kevin Tatchy.
If the voters decide not to elect you as the next 10th Plymouth District State Rep, which other candidate in this race would you support and feel that they would do a good job?
Let's start with you, John.
I'll support Colleen as a Republican flag bearer.
Yep. Okay. John.
Pretty good. Okay. Charlie Mathewson.
One of the Democrats running said that he would support you.
Yeah, I think it's
just
turns. Well,
both of
you. He actually supported both of you in the same vote.
Yes. All right. Who will you vote for governor, AG, and treasurer? Colleen.
Heffernan, Polito, and Baker.
Baker, Polito, and Heffernan.
Okay.
Pro-choice or pro-life?
Pro-life.
I've been pro-life when it wasn't popular 25 years ago.
Charlie?
Okay, let's see. We've covered county government. We've covered...
Let me ask you. Let me just jump in here.
Yes.
Two words that describe why voters should pick you as their next state rep. John Cruz. Two words.
Dependable. Hardworking.
Okay. Colleen.
Energetic and motivated.
Okay. Gentlemen, any more lightning round questions?
Yeah. If not? Favorite color? It's a simple question. Let's see
green.
What you
say. Sorry.
Blue.
I didn't know if it's spell chrysanthem.
How did you?
I'm just kidding. I won't go there. You know what? We're wrapping up in time, which is really good. So we're going to go to, unless you want to have one more quick lightning round question, we're going to go to our final statements, and we're going to reverse the order that we started in tonight. So let's start now with.
Oh,
let's see.
Yeah, sorry.
Start with you, Colleen. You as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes.
Okay. Again, my name is Colleen Maloney. I'm running for the Plymouth 10th seat. I've been in this race since, you know, before it was an open seat. I'm fully committed to doing everything I can for the Plymouth 10th district. I've been, you know, meeting with as many voters as possible, trying to see, you know, what concerns they have. And like I said, you know, things are changing. More and more kids are graduating without any real direction. A lot of people are leaning towards more freelance work, and so we need to look at, you know, how we're going to deal with that, whether it's what we're going to get them for healthcare, et cetera. And so I want to start creating a strategic plan for the state and look at, you know, where we want to be 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And so, you know, I'm asking for your vote both in September and hopefully November.
Thank you very much. That was candidate Colleen Maloney. Now we're going to go to John Cruz, your final statement for our listeners.
Thank you, Christine. My name is John Cruz, and I'm the candidate. I'm a candidate for the state representative position, 10th Plymouth District. And I ask everyone out there for your vote, for your consideration for voting in September. And here's why. Because I'm the only one in the race with experience. I'm the only one in the race that has a business background. I own my own small plumbing business for the past 22 years. I don't only sign the back of a check, I also sign the front of a check. I know what it's like. In the current economy, I know what it takes to create jobs, and that is a lower tax rate. That being said, look at my track record as a state representative from 22 years ago. I voted to cut your taxes back then. I'll continue to vote your taxes back then. I'll vote to increase your local aid. I'll vote to continue to increase your local aid, and I'll vote to fight hard and get what we need for our district. I'm a proven voice up there in Beacon Hill, and again, my name is John Cruz, and I'm asking you for your consideration 3 weeks from tomorrow. For the Republican primary.
That's right. That's September 9th, which is the primary. It's hard to imagine that it's already come up this quickly again. And, of course, WATD will provide complete primary night coverage of all the races that matter here statewide. And, of course, the South Shore is what we focus on. We'll have our pregame show. We go on at 7 and then at 8 o'clock. Got our reporters out in the field. We'll start letting you know what the numbers are and what the results are as well. You can hear this forum on our website tomorrow in its entirety, 95.9WATD.com, and selected cuts from this forum during our morning drive news block with Dave Skill tomorrow morning. Again, this is for the seat for the 10th Plymouth District. We've had Charlie Mathewson in here asking questions with me, along with Kevin Tatchy. This is being taped by West Bridgewater Community TV. And remember, get out there and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Thanks for listening. 95.9 WATD.